from around the globe. In sold-out arenas and humble churches. From out on the streets. To your screen. And now, the time and what must be done. On this edition of Farrakhan Speaks.
Greetings and welcome to the Time and What Must Be Done weekly broadcast by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is my extreme pleasure and honor on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan to introduce part 44 of these broadcasts. I am happy to inform you that the minister is doing better and is improving. His doctors are working with him, monitoring him, and he's getting stronger and stronger every day. All praise is due to Allah. And God willing, he will be before this camera and microphone in a few weeks. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. For the last several weeks, the focus of the time and what must be done has been Muhammad's economic blueprint to end poverty and want. Join me as we watch Minister Louis Farrakhan's timely and informative message delivered on the occasion of the Holy Day of Atonement on October 16, 2011. This message further emphasizes the importance and need for Muhammad's economic blueprint. And now, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! All praise is due to Allah.
Thinking about you this morning, and I'm so happy to see you. Thank you so much. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we give him praise and thanks for his mercy to all of the members of the human family. That whenever any member of the human family strays from his straight path and earns his disapproval, before God punishes, out of his abundant mercy, he always raises from among the people a prophet or a messenger to whom he gives what is called divine revelation. And by means of that revelation, he guides those who will back to his straight path and away from his wrath. We thank Allah for Moses and the Torah, the Israelite prophets that gave us what is called the Old Testament. We thank Allah for Jesus, who gave us the good news or the gospel. and his apostles that gave us what is called the New Testament. And we thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, through whom Allah gave to the world his final revelation that would take us all the way up to the end of this world, the judgment of this world, and the doorway to the new. I thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad and for all of the prophets. Peace be upon them all. I'm a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I could never thank Allah enough for his intervention in our affairs in the person of Master W. Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi, who came among us and found one upon whose shoulders he could place a weighty word and a weighty assignment to raise us, the black man and woman of America and the world, and then all of humanity, from a spiritual, mental, and moral death, that we might be worthy to see that which is called the new world, the kingdom of Islam, the kingdom of Allah, the kingdom of heaven. I thank Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and I see him as the eternal leader of the nation of Islam, meaning that what God has given to him for us now and in the past, and what will come down in the future, we will be feeding on it, growing from it for a long, long time. I'm going to acquaint you as best I can today with the greatness of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and why we are suffering today, because we rejected him. We didn't pay adequate attention to him. As a result, today we are suffering great loss. Hopefully there's time for us to reverse the loss. The headline that Brother Ishmael showed you, we are at war. Think about that. But if you don't see that we are at war, then you must be raised in consciousness so that you can participate in the war. Because the war is for our survival. As a people, we have to survive. And if we are ignorant in a time like this, then our ignorance will be the means of our destruction. We are at war against forces within ourselves and forces outside of ourselves that keep us relegated to the condition of poverty and want. Yesterday in Washington, D.C., and today again in the 16th anniversary of the Million Man March, there's a great gathering on the Mall in Washington, D.C. Reverend Al Sharpton led the march along with many other leaders of our people. And the march, I heard, was a great success. The march placed attention to the marchers and those who watched of the need for jobs and justice. My question to us is, to whom shall we look for jobs and justice? Do you think that our president, as desirous as he may be, can provide enough jobs for the millions of Americans that are unemployed, and our millions too? Does not history teach us that if jobs are needed by Caucasian people and Hispanic people and black people and native indigenous people, who will get the jobs first? If they are producing the jobs, then they're going to produce the jobs for their people. And if you are lucky, one or two, three or four, or maybe even a few more might come our way. But history is teaching us, and we've been crying out for this for years, jobs, we need jobs, we must have jobs. We agree with you, but you are acting like children, little beggars, that is asking somebody else to do something for us that with right guidance and the will, we could do all of this for ourselves and earn the respect of the entire world. But we are going to have to get up from where we are and go to work in order to survive and in order for us to prepare a future for our children. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I want to just focus on some of his words so that you can see what kind of man was among us and the things that he taught us and pleaded with us to do that we have not done. But there's still a window of opportunity. The energy of marching must be turned now to another kind of energy. Now that we have marched and we know that we need jobs and we're trying to encourage our president and the passage of his jobs bill, are we going to sit around and wait while they argue in Congress whether they want to listen to his plea for jobs or come up with something else, and in the meantime, we don't have any jobs? In the meantime, we are suffering while we wait for somebody else. That's our problem. Listen to what Elijah Muhammad said 50 years ago. He said, as a people, we must become producers and not remain consumers and employees. We must be able to extract raw materials from the earth and manufacture them into something useful for ourselves. This would create jobs in production. That sounds very intelligent. But wait, he goes further. He said, we must remember, however, that without land, there is no production. So if we are not the owners of land and lots of it, then we will not be able to produce the things that we consume, so we will always be at the mercy of others who produce, and therefore we will be the consumer people rather than a productive people. And that is how people earn respect, by being productive. Now listen. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad went on to say, the surplus of what we produce, we would sell. This would help to develop a field of commerce and trade, as other free and independent people whose population is less than that of the 20 million at that time, but nearly 50 million today, so-called Negroes who are dependent in America. Now, in those few sentences, he lays out what we're going to talk about today. We have to have land. We have to have the intelligence to extract raw materials out of the land, to make products that are useful to ourselves and others. And if we can produce products that are useful to ourselves and then sell the surplus, meaning what? We look out for our own needs first. And whatever you have over, you sell it to others. This opens up a field of trade and commerce. At the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, we brought to us ministries that we must establish as a people. And among these ministries was a ministry of trade and commerce. Here you have people all over the earth who would do business with us if we had a product that we could offer them. And if they didn't have money, trade, barter this for that. What do you need? What do your brothers and sisters around the world have? What do they need that we can produce? Now watch how this will go. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wrote this years ago. He said, observe the operations of the white man. Does that sound like a racist to you? A hater? Now, you can dislike white folk, that's entirely up to you. But Elijah Muhammad was saying, get past that and observe the operations of a man that has captured the world and made the world bow down to his way of civilization. Observe the operations of the white man. He's successful. At least he was. He's not as successful today as he used to be. But that does not mean that we should not observe him and see how he went wrong. Because if God is going to give us the opportunity to replace him, you didn't hear me. Replace him. Because he has ruined his right to the stewardship of land, resources, and people. He has abused the land, the air, the water, and the people on the earth. So God is going to take it from him and give it to whom he pleases. Yes. And whether you want to believe it or not, he intends to give it to you and then see how you act. Everybody looks good when we're all down in the barrel together. But when God raises you and gives you power and authority over what you did not create, then he's trying us to see how we act. So if God replaces the wicked rule of the wicked husbandmen of the earth, who has ruled with injustice and evil, and gives it to us to see how we act, then I'm going to ask you a question, as I asked last week in Philadelphia. If God reverses this and makes you the head, as you have been the tail, will you treat others as they have treated you and me? Or will we thank God for trying us with power and then proving to God that our hearts are purified and we are worthy to rule? And that is why on the back page of Muhammad Speaks and on the back page of the final call in the Muslim program, the first thing that we want is freedom, a full and complete freedom. Do you want that for yourself? Well, the question is, don't you want that for others? Because you are not a Muslim until you want for others what you want for yourself. What do you want? We want justice. Equal justice under the law. We want justice applied equally to all, regardless of creed or class or color. Is that what you want? Yes, sir. Well, if God puts us in a position of rulership, would you be unjust to Christians if you are a Muslim in power? Would you be unjust to Buddhists or Hindus? Of those who practice voodoo, or those who are animists or those who practice no religion at all. Well, the Bible says the sun shines on the just as well as the unjust. God don't ask you what is your religion and hold back from you sunshine. God doesn't ask you what nationality are you or what is your color and holds back from you a cloud that will give you rain to germinate the seeds in the earth. God is not like that. So if God puts us in power and authority, how will we be? So all this bitterness and hatred over what we have suffered, our hearts have to be purified. As the Bible teaches, I didn't choose you for righteousness because you weren't righteous. I chose you out of the furnace of affliction. So this process that we're engaged in now is a process that purifies the heart. So when you speak of bitterness and anger and hatred and come into power, then you'll do exactly to others as they have done to you. So you are no better than those whom God is replacing. You have to be better. Observe the operations of the white man. He was pretty successful. He makes no excuses for his failures. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. Last week, in Philadelphia, I talked about integration and separation. You are the only people in America that's trying to force yourself on other people. Now wait, just listen to me. That's not what Dr. King wanted. He wanted equal justice for us. He wanted America to treat us fairly. That's what he wanted. He wasn't trying to get us necessarily to live with them, marry into them. No. Look at all of the people that have come to America from all over the world, and you see them learn civics lessons and then take their naturalization oath and become a naturalized citizen, and you see them waving the flag. They're happy. And you've been here longer than anybody else, but you're not happy. Something is wrong with that picture. Now, when you see people reciting the Pledge of Allegiance, the new Americans, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, under God, with liberty and justice for all. And boy, if you watch them, they are happy. And when the Pledge of Allegiance is recited, we are... The Star Spangled Banner is playing, a fight is going on, and they're in the dressing room warming up.
To hell with the pledge. Hell with the national anthem. I got to warm up. But not the newly arrived. What have they found in America that we have never found since we've been here? Now, last week I used Chinatown, and I like to name all the cities that Chinese have a Chinatown. All over America. They have one right here in Chicago. And of course, if you go there, they would want to know why you're there. If you want to use some Chinese remedies or medicines, fine, come in, get them, and get out. Don't hang around. They own the banks. They own the stores. They own the buildings. They've created an entire community. They love themselves. They're happy living among themselves. In America, they're integrated, though separated. Wait. Now, everyone that wants a Chinese experience, let's go to Chinatown. You go in the shop, you don't see a black man serving, a Mexican serving, a Japanese serving. This is Chinatown. What do you expect to find in Chinatown? Chinese people. Well, right here, this is Chicago. They got Greek Town. You can go. You can eat in the Greek restaurant and shop. Then get out. Don't hang around too long after dark. We don't know what you're looking for. But in other words, people want to know why you're in their community. And if you're there to take care of some business, you're welcome. But if you're loitering and acting the fool, then you bring something out of people. Oh, there's a Koreatown out here. Right? Koreans seem to be very happy in their town. Have you ever seen the Koreans with a picket sign? No? Isn't that interesting? No Japanese, no Chinese with picket signs. Italians, they don't have picket signs. The Irish, they got their own enclave here. Polish got theirs. They ain't picketing nobody. They've earned respect because they've done something for themselves. They're not begging nobody else. They have their representatives in government looking out for them. What about you? When Master Farad Muhammad came, remember the picture that we gave you last week of sperm in a hostile environment impregnating the egg? and the body wants to reject it because it's something new, it's something strange. So it has to find a firm resting place. Many of you lose your babies. You have what is called a miscarriage because you have, with the things that you use, you have so damaged the walls of your uterus that the egg cannot find a firm resting place in you. Yeah. So, ejected. When the Irish came, were they accepted? No? What about the Italians? No? What about the Polish? Wow. What about the Jews? No? You mean they all suffered rejection? But what did they do? What did they do? They got their push carts. Look at the Italians. Look at the Jews. Look at others. They were glad to be in America. Thank God for America. The Statue of Liberty. Look at it. Look at it. And you've been here 450 years. That statue don't mean nothing to me. I'm not putting us down. But every ethnic and racial group that came to America suffered. What about the West Indians? Well, they come with their accent, aren't they? And all you look at them from Georgia, Mississippi, Louisiana, you say, who are these people with this funny accent? Them from Jamaica, from Barbados, them from places I don't know nothing about. Them is strange people. Me not gonna like them tall. Now look, that's your brother. But you didn't even recognize him as your brother. But he came, West Indian people, and start, go to Brooklyn and see what you see down there. The boys them took over Brooklyn, eh? When they have carnival, the whole town turn out, man. Oh, the best they can do for you is the Bud Billiken Day Parade. When people come in the black neighborhood, what do they come for? Well, I think I'd like some ribs and a little hog maw and chitlins. Even the rib joints closed down. Leon's was the place that everybody came to get ribs. And Brother Leon, before he died, he said, Farrakhan, I'm gonna come up to your national house and set up a little rib place. And he would laugh and I would laugh. He knew that he was making money on ribs and we were teaching against it. Now, Leon's closed down, one of them, maybe two of them have closed down. So if you want ribs, you gotta go downtown now. Oh man, we used to have a few black banks. Independence gone, Drexel gone, Highland, I think, may be gone, I don't know. Just a few banks left. Okay. Well, what did they come here for? Oh, man, look. 63rd Street, yeah. Yeah, you want some, you really want some good heroin. If you want to find some crack. Or if you want a luscious black prostitute. Let's go uptown. Is that what we have to offer the world? See? You're here and you're segregated, not separated. There's a difference between segregation and separation. Separation is voluntarily done on the basis of two equals. I'm Irish. I'm not going to live with the Italians, so I'm living over here in the Irish part of town. Jews living in the Jewish part of town. Polish living in the Polish part of town. They ain't bothering nobody. We run our part of town. But let's go in the hood. Can you walk from one block? Oh, no. Okay, don't drive down that street. That's the Four Corner Hustlers. No. Oh, God, these are the BGs and the BDs. Look at yourself. And you want people to respect you with your college degree and can't produce nothing for yourself or your people? When Master Farad Muhammad came, he was like sperm entering a hostile environment. The egg that he was looking for was in Detroit. He didn't find what he was looking for uptown. He found who he was looking for in Black Bottom, Detroit. But all he needed was a fertile egg that would accept the wisdom that he brought and grow into a new life and attach itself to what? The Constitution of the United States of America. He studied it so well, he attached. And we began to grow. Just look now. Something is happening inside America. Something different. Oh my God, I'm pregnant. Isn't that what you say when you find out? Oh my God, I'm pregnant. Oh, now I gotta go on the Maury Povich show. Because I don't know who the daddy is. I'm not trying to be funny. See, Mary was a virgin. The Christians, bless your heart, and the Muslims too, you have it kind of confused, you know. The Holy Ghost came upon Mary. And look at the language. It's perfect language. And she was found to be with child. Isn't that beautiful language? Now wait a minute. Have you ever seen a virgin have a baby and still be a virgin? No, I mean you scientists. You don't even have to be a scientist, as many babies as we have made. They may have been a virgin before we got there. But once she conceived, she's not a virgin. Well, what does that scripture mean? See, Mary is a choice now. She's a woman that has never known a man. That's why you're in the condition that you're in, because you have never known a man. If you knew a man, you would act like a man. If you knew a man, you would be a man. And if you knew a man, you would produce like a man. You are like a virgin, because once a virgin knows a man, new life starts germinating in the virgin. So Mary was desired by God. So are you. Mary was a virtuous woman. Well, that ain't necessarily us. But the Quran says Mary and her child, Jesus, were for a sign. It was pointing to something else. See, here you are, a people enslaved. Everybody coming here making something of themselves, preparing a future for themselves and their children. While you march, you sit down, you wade in, you crying, you crawling, you praying, and you still don't have what you're looking for. So they ask, if Martin Luther King was here today, what would he say? What would he say? You think he would be happy because we got a black president that never speaks of the poor? Talk to me! Would he be pleased with war going on 5 different nations? And the billions of dollars that are being spent to promote war, yet they don't have enough money to build the infrastructure of America? Wouldn't Martin Luther King be pleased? I don't think so. So a part of the dream, we could say, is fulfilled. We have a black president, black attorney general, black ambassador to the United Nations. Oh, aren't we getting up there? But what about the masses of the people? They're getting further and further behind. Dr. King would not be happy with that. No. Well, I would like us to study the operations of the white man. And the white man who is the most successful of all of them are the Jews. Farrakhan, are you an anti-Semite? Well, if I were, I wouldn't be studying them. See, it's something about hate. When you hate something, you don't study it enough to find out the value that's in it. Here's a Jew, and listen to me. They came here as immigrants. They own push carts right in downtown New York. The established stores did not want a Jew with a push cart in front of their store. Well, sooner or later, the Jews united their dollars. Now most of the stores belong to them. They used to go to Miami, and the hotels would reject Jews. Go to Miami now and see who owns it. They didn't start the movie industry, but they were being portrayed so badly by the Gentiles that started it, they took it over. You want a job in Hollywood? You gotta go by them. Isn't that something to study? How did you do that? Occupy Wall Street. Who's running Wall Street? Oh, there's a few Gentiles and a few blacks that are on the Federal Reserve Board. But who are the banking families that own the Federal Reserve? Who are the banking families that have owned Wall Street? See, it's Jews. Got a problem with that? Who owns the New York Times? Who owns the Washington Post? See? Who owns Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, U.S. News and World Report? Talk to me! You've been here longer than everybody else. What do you have? Well, we have Ebony and Jet. Who got it now? We had Motown. Who's got it now? We had BET. Who's got it now? We had Essence Magazine. Who's got it now? Yes, we had Def Jam. We had Fat Farm. Now we own a little stock in it. But somebody gave us an offer that we couldn't refuse. Because you think that business is something nice to do. Business is warfare. Because somebody is vying for that dollar that you are vying for. So if they can outsmart you, if they can trick you, if they can give you an offer that you can't refuse, then they'll take your company from you because you don't have soldiers. We got soldiers. And if you don't have any soldiers, you will never be successful in business.
Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam started growing in the womb of America, pulling from what America had to make ourselves stronger and stronger. Not ready to separate yet, because you're not developed enough. See, ask your wife, no matter how pregnant she is, you can't be stupid and say, I want to see my baby now. The best you can do is get an ultrasound and watch it in the womb developing. But you have to wait on development, that the tiny house that holds that life, that new life has outgrown it. So when that new life has outgrown the uterus, which has grown the size of a watermelon, then the baby starts kicking. I want out of here. Starts moving about. The feet are usually down at the opening. But in the last days, the head turns down. Why? Well, what is that in nature? See, your feet can't lead you out. See, you got leaders that are feet, and you are still where you are because you have not recognized your head. But when the head is ready and turns down into the right position, then the head forges the way to freedom for the body.
Please log on again next week and every week this year for The Time and What Must Be Done. Tell your friends, tell your family. Log on to NOI.org every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Time, for truth, guidance, and unequaled love from the National Representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Pass on the word every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time at NOI.org. The Time and What Must Be Done. Remember, to have Minister Farrakhan answer your questions, tweet them to @LouisFarrakhan, #AskFarrakhan. And to add this message to your library or as a gift for someone you love, go to store.finalcall.com.